Great. Did I miss someone that joined a little while ago? Okay. We were talking about the new normal, and we really don't know what that is. You know, in previous, for those of you who may be new to the call, we've got a batch of 18 new grantees. We've got people who submitted grants, and they were not able to be funded. We've got 26 grantees from 2020 who will be looking for funding in the next round, FY22, which is coming up. So we got a variety. And, we, of course, we do these every 2 weeks. Next week is going to be, next 2 weeks from now is going to be special, and Heather's going to talk about that in just a second. But the beautiful thing about this program, it is very diverse. And we had come to the conclusion a couple PLCs ago that, by and large, for most of us, it's going to be face-to-face, in-person training. With exceptions, there'll be grantees who have people that can have computer skills, may have computers or tablets. In the past, some grantees have had tablets, and they work with that, and there'll be some combination of that. For the majority of our 44 active grantees that are working, it seems like we're going to end up back face-to-face. But the question is, what is that face-to-face going to look like, and what we have done in the past? And we'll be talking about all this in the future. And in addition to getting ready for the next RFP. So, but we always start these things off with the news from Washington. And Heather, do you want to give us a rundown of what's happening over there?
Yes, absolutely.
Before we go too far, if you're on a speakerphone, we do keep open mics so we can hear everything. So if you can, if you're on a speakerphone, or you may have to silence us, don't put us on hold. So I think we're picking someone up there. So, well, Heather, see if you could talk over that. Someone must be answering a phone call.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So thank you all very much for joining us today. We're really excited to hear from you all and chat with you guys once again.
I ain't going
to
eat it. I'll throw it away. Or forget
it. So thank
you,
guys.
You got it.
And,
thanks, Jennifer. Thank you, guys. See y'all later.
Okay. Anyone on the call now, we'll have to, we're here picking up your conversation. So either put us on mute or try to signal people not to talk, because we'll pick it all up. Okay, go ahead with that reminder.
So just to give you guys a brief update, in terms of news from HQ, you know, no new news from the HQ side of the house. But as always, as kind of just on repeat, what we've been talking about for the last while now, it seems like, is a little bit of updates just in terms of the National Brownfield Conference. So as you guys know, the National Brownfield Conference is currently slated for September 27th through the 30th in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. So that's September 27th through the 30th. That's a great opportunity to network and learn a little bit more about what's going on a national scale for brownfields as a whole. So that's a great thing to kind of earmark and put on in your calendar and keep an eye out for. If you want to learn more about it, go to brownfields2021.org. Again, that's brownfields2021.org. HMTRI, we are planning on attending. We did respond the call for sessions. So we did put out a couple of ideas for some speaking sessions. And we are also looking at having a booth as well, but that wouldn't just be an HMTRI booth, it would be an EWJT booth. So it'd be a booth for everybody, for all of us to get together and an opportunity to showcase your guys' programs. So as we get a little bit closer to the National Brownfield Conference date, we'll be reaching out to you guys to, you know, send us promotional flyers and information to be able to showcase your program on a national scale. You know, we really want you guys to use that opportunity to think of it more as your booth. And it's an opportunity to utilize that that space to really kind of showcase your program on that wider, to that wider audience. So we'll talk about that a little bit more as we get closer to that date. September's still quite a ways off, so we'll talk about that as we get closer to those days. We are also looking at doing the possibility of doing an affiliate event or kind of a little special meeting during the National Brownfields Conference. That would just be for the EWJT folks, kind of an opportunity for us to have something that's really just unique to our audience as well. But again, we'll have more details on that as we get closer to those dates and as we get a little bit more more tied into those things. So couple other things that are coming in. We are looking on our side, on the HMTRI side of the house. Our biggest things that we've been tied in is planning for the All Grantee meeting. So for those of you who don't have it on your calendar yet, please mark down the dates of May 4th through the 6th. May 4th through the 6th from 12 to 3 p.m. Eastern, we are doing the virtual All Grantee meeting. So the virtual All Grantee meeting, this is a free event. And it's a great opportunity for current, new, and prospective EWJT grantees to share a variety of approaches to Brownfields job training and workforce development. It's a great way to exchange information and ideas with each other and EPA regional and headquarter representatives. And it's just an opportunity for everyone to develop their best possible job training program. So it'll be a virtual event and an opportunity to really showcase and share some of their best practices and best ideas. So definitely get that on your calendar. Mark your calendars. Again, that's May 4th through 6th, 12 to 3 p.m. Eastern. And make sure that you guys are on our listserv to be up to date and receive the most latest and greatest information on that. If you aren't on our listserv or are unsure if you are on our listserv, please send me an email at hkballou@eicc.edu, and I will double check to make sure your name is on it. Again, that's hkballou@eicc.edu. That's our main way that we like to push out all of our information and keep in touch with everybody. And I think Mike's going to kind of talk to you guys a little bit about some of the stuff. Steve was reaching out to kind of see if we could pull a few more folks to help us participate in facilitating a few sessions for the All Grantee meeting.
Well, the logical question you're probably having is, how do I sign up? And we're working on that. You know, it's going to be a Zoom call. And Zoom has changed some of their security requirements. So we're going to get that out hopefully today or tomorrow. Is that correct, Heather? That's going to be going out quickly?
Yeah, I'm actually even hoping maybe by the end of this phone call. I'm kind of dodging back and forth with our web guy right now as we speak. So we'll see if I can even announce it by the end of this phone call, fingers crossed. But if not, it'll go out to the listserv. So again, if you're not on our listserv, make sure you send me that email and we'll double check to make sure you're on it.
And that'll go out to the PLC list. Everybody has on that. It'll go out to our major list. It's larger than our PLC list. And it'll go out to people who may or not have received funding and hopefully some new grantees. So this is going to be a great event. We're going to have 18 breakouts, and you'll be able to meet your regional coordinators. We're going to have plenaries, about 7 plenaries, and we'll have the EPA attorney. They'll talk to us about do's and don'ts and fundable and unfundable types of training and expenditures. So it's a good opportunity to, I wish I could say meet and greet. That'll be next year in Alexandria, but this year it'll be over the internet on Zoom. You'll want to get your questions ready, and we're going to talk about that in a second. We have basically facilitators for every session, 18 of those. There'll be 3 breakouts in each period. But we do still have some opportunities. If you would like to showcase or talk about what you're doing, I'm going to list a few areas that you might, if you think you really have a good program and you'd like to talk a little bit about it, I'd like you to send your contact information to Steve Fenton, and I'll give you his address in just a second. But if you've got something that you feel really strong in partnerships, we call that B4. You'll see these numbers later. We've assigned every breakout a B number, which will be easy to, you'll see as we go along, easier to move from room to room virtually. B7, we have community and labor market assessments, training and strategies during COVID, curriculum and training, and graduation and placement. And we do have people in these sessions. They're going to be facilitating, but it's an opportunity if you would like to spend a few minutes, say 5 minutes or even 10, talking about your specific program. Send your contact information to Stephen, and I'm going to give you his email address. It's S, that's S as in Sam, S Fenton 103 at AOL.com. Now I'll go slowly on that. S as in Sam, Fenton, F-E-N-T-O-N, 103 at AOL.com. And we can get you in on that formal facilitators list. Of course, everyone that's in the room will be participating in these discussions, so you'll still have a chance to do that. But any of you also that have questions to your regional coordinators, it's a good time to jot them down because you'll have a chance in a small group to meet your regional coordinator and talk to them about your program. We are also, and we have many, and I want to thank those who have submitted, we've got video tours, photos that you can showcase your program. And we have found that last year, for example, after we were finished with our program, we just turned on some videos. And these were contributions by grantees. They turned their phone on and just walked through their training center. Or they didn't even do that. They were on the job and they just wanted to video someone that they thought was pretty impressive. If you've got a student that you like and you think they're pretty impressive, turn your camera on, video it, and send it to Steve, sfenton103@aol.com. I'm going to try to get these notes out tomorrow so that these addresses will also reach your inbox. And, of course, if you're not on the PLC list, again, hkbaloo@eicc.edu, the address she gave you. She's our principal contact for everything, but Steve is collecting videos and setting up the schedule for the all-grantee meeting. It'll be a great chance to meet in smaller groups. And when you see the agenda, we're covering a whole lot of topics. We call them critical issues to run a successful program. We will be following up these issues in our PLC. Our PLC will be oriented more towards getting ready for that next FY22 proposal request, and I'll be talking about that in a second. But again, this is a great opportunity to go to the all grantee meeting. We wish it were face to face, but that'll be next year, and hopefully we'll supplement that with a meeting at the Oklahoma National Conference. So we'll still get a chance to meet each other and go in person. Before I get too far, I do, and as I said, I'm going to try to get these notes out tomorrow, because there's two webinars that I think you may be interested in. And the first one is April 23rd, which is Friday. It's from 1 to 3. And it's an EPA, kind of a learning session, but a learning session for EPA. It is a little oriented towards the ARC grants, the assessment, the revitalization assessment, cleanup grants, but it also is applicable to us. Everything that's applicable to them is applicable to us. And this is going to be EPA listening to us and what nonprofits can do to help EPA advance brownfields. And I talked about this a couple of sessions ago. There's a lot of green shoots that have been popping up very recently. It wasn't more than a day after President Biden was in office and he wrote an executive order. While they publicized as climate change, the whole second half was about environmental justice, which includes us. We are an environmental justice program. In fact, as I had mentioned in the past, it's our program, Environmental Workforce Development Job Training, is part of EPA's response and commitment to justice, environmental justice, serving underserved populations. So as we look ahead, there's a very good possibility, and I think we have to be ready for it, of looking towards environmental justice and how our programs are addressing the environmental justice issue. Now, I've just been talking about on the federal level, but everything that's happening on a federal level also goes down. We're a jobs program, we're an environmental justice program, and we're an economic redevelopment program. So all of these things to fit. Now, the question is will this translate into a bigger program? They have intentionally always wanted to keep this program small, and this goes back 25 years. Many of the past administrators have said their feeling was you get something that's too big, it gets out of control, it's not manageable. And it's not. This is not a Department of Labor program. As I said, it's an EJ program, and it's highly technical. So the focus of this program is keep it small, keep it lean, and treat it like a startup program. Those have been basically the feelings about this. So the fact that, you know, we've only got 18 grantees, new grantees for 21, we shouldn't be disappointed in it. It's not that they don't care about us. I think it's also a matter of we don't want an unmanageable program where we can't deliver a good product. But keep this in mind. Also, I'll talk about this in a second. The next go around, we'll see how that fits into the green shoots I've been talking about. Well, that's on April 23rd, 1 to 3 p.m. On April 29th, David Lloyd's going to be on a webinar that should be very interesting. It's from 2 to 3 p.m. It's put on by one of our TAB. Our sister programs are the TAB programs. Well, we've talked about them in the past. They handle the cleanup, the revolving loan funds, the multipurpose funds, assessment projects around the country. They're much larger than us, maybe 10 times bigger, but they're covering the entire country. They have five TAB grantees, but one of them, CCLR, is putting together what looks to be a really nice webinar, and it'll feature David Lloyd with, of course, Brownfields and Land Revitalization. And they're going to talk about the old HR2. These are acts that actually moved forward in the House in 2020, haven't gotten past the Senate. We got the Moving Forward Act, and we got the Build Better Act. And as I was talking about green shoots here, we're in the midst of coalescing perhaps some very large infrastructure bills, and these all can become part of it. These have not moved to the Senate yet. They haven't. Some have not passed the House. But we've got the work that was done last year that was not passed, Moving Forward Act and the Build Back Better Act. And these have significant influence on the Brownfields program. The Moving Forward Act, I think, has in it about $2.25 billion for Brownfields between 21 and 25. So you may, if you want to get this sorted out in your mind, the difference between infrastructure, moving forward, build better, and how that all fits with EPA, this April 29th webinar will be all about that. So again, I'm going to send out those links so you'll have them tomorrow in case you want to sit in on those particular webinars. Before I go on, is there anyone I want to ask any questions about our all grantee meeting, signing up for their meeting, which we'll be pushing you on in the next week, or any of these things from Washington?
And Mike, I wanted to give a shout out. I think, is Amy on the line?
Amy Cannonau?
Yes.
Yes.
Congratulations. You are number one, the very first person who caught that I pushed out registrations. You are the very first person to register for the all grantee meeting. So those of you who happen to are keeping an eye out on your inbox, I pushed out registration is now live for the all grantee meeting. So check your emails to where you get the listserv post to. You can now go online and register for the all grantee meeting. So definitely keep a lookout for that. It came to a to your email inbox where you get any of your listserv posts. If you don't see it and would like me to resend it to you, just send me an email to hkballou@eicc.edu. And after he finishes up with the PLC call today, Mike will also be sending it out to the PLC listservs as well.
Congratulations. Congratulations. I have a bagel here on my desk. If this is face-to-face, I'd give it to you as a prize. But
yeah, so shout out, sorry, Amy. You got the first registration.
Yay. Okay, now we just got to get everyone else registered, right? So that's now we only have about, 7 days. Or now, in our defense, we were up against some changing security issues, and that's pretty much, we've been planning this for several months, and then we came down to this registration, and all of a sudden we had a glitch, so we got a little bit delayed here, but we'll get everyone on board. We'll make sure we're all there. Well, I had a question this last week about, when these awards came out and the unawards came out, and we were unfunded. Now, what now? What now? And, of course, we've been pushing, and I suggested before, whoever you are, set up a conference call with your regional coordinator. And for a whole lot of reasons, you want to do a critical review. No one likes a critical review, but this is it's going to be really positive on a lot of levels. One, you want to tell them, hopefully, that you're going to resubmit. And they may tell you, don't feel bad if this is your first time. Many times it's two, sometimes it's three times before a grant proposal is fundable. And why is that? This is different than a lot of academic grants. If you're used to those, you write the grant and they give you the money and you're set to do what you want. This is pretty much pre-planned. I mean, it's a tough grant to write. And those grants or applications that were not fundable, usually it's pretty clear what the problem was. Sometimes it was simple things like their numbers didn't match up, or they had conflicts of information. They said one thing in one place, another in another place, which is, we'll talk about that in a second also, when you have several people writing the grant at the same time. Perhaps they didn't have much of a depth of partnership development. They didn't have a bench, a strong bench, maybe no bench. In generally, they may not have addressed the EPA training priorities. Now, certainly you have to pass the threshold. And for those of you that are going to, we're going to be start planning for the next RFA to come out. We can count on the fact it'll probably be pretty much like last time. We may not have the contingency plans for COVID. Maybe we will, but we can take those as guidelines for the threshold criteria, and we'll be working on those ranking criteria and see how we could beef it up. Now, I'm not just talking to those who may be on the call who are unfunded. I'm also going to be addressing the 26 grantees who were funded in FY20. Now think about this. In FY21, the awards they were just given, there were 18 of them. 9 went to new grantees. 9 went to existing grantees. We've got 26 people who, in all likelihood, will want to re-up their program in FY22. 26. Add to that another cadre of people who are unfunded. Another issue is there will be, EPA recognizes that new grantees don't have the same advantages of existing grantees. They may not have the partnership development. They may not have the employer contacts. They don't have the trainers lined up and on board. So those are considerations they make. So we're going to have to up our grants on this next go around. Those of you who were funded in and 20 are going to have to up their game. They can't resubmit the same grant. Those of you who are unfunded are going to have to up your game. What we've always been told by regional coordinators and reviewers is you cannot resubmit the old grant and expect to get funded. It doesn't work. They may even recognize your name and find out it was, and you're just going to knock yourself out of the competition. So what we want to do is we want to do something new and innovative. In addition, for those of you who have existing programs, we're going to have to up your game. And, of course, those of you who are new are going to have to find out what your deficiencies were that I just talked about. And that application debriefing is really good place to start. As I said, it'll tell the regional coordinator that you're interested, that you're going to resubmit. And they'll point things out, as I mentioned. It might be you're not really answering all your ranking criteria properly, or you're referring back to things that that don't make sense. Your partnerships aren't deep enough, or you're not leveraging at all, or your training is just it may not even be fundable by EPA, or you didn't make the distinction of what's being supported by EPA and where you're getting supplemental and leverage funds for these others. So every grant is different, just like every community is different. What you have to do is address this to your community. This is one of the reasons we shy away from any kind of generic grant. If you look at the assessment and the cleanup grants, they tend to be fairly similar across communities with some differences, but ours, every community really is different. So we want to work on that moving forward after the all grantee meeting. So in a few minutes, just today, I don't want to keep you too long, but as I said, if you are funded, get that sit down with the regional coordinator, and they'll be happy to do this. This is what they do, and they'll be happy to know that you're submitting. Regional coordinators they're on our side. They want us to submit grant applications. They have their own little competition going of who's got the most winners this season, but they also are really proud that they've got grantees applying. So they're not your enemy, and they're not don't treat them as a teacher that's trying to knock you down. They're really trying to encourage you to beef up your grant and resubmit. And we're not talking about next year. We're talking about months, a couple months. We traditionally tell everyone this takes 6 months, and maybe for a new grantee more than that, to really write a comprehensive grant. And that means we're not talking about writing the grant. We're talking about the back office work and the prep that's required to write a grant. I've always considered that when the RFA comes out, your work really needs to be done. Your dog work needs to be done. Your partnerships have to be established. You've got to get your trainers lined up. That 60 days that you have is enough to write a decent grant and go over it and have it reviewed by everyone. So actually, you know, they could give you 6 months to do this, and it wouldn't be too long. And today I want to speak a little bit, and we'll put all this in the notes, of course, but we want to talk about getting your team together, which you need to be doing right now. If you're a 20 grantee, or you're a new grantee, or you're an unfunded grantee, I want to put some ideas in your head. Do you have a environmental workforce development job training team? Now, it doesn't have to be formal. Whoever may be on this call, or you may have a principal that the organizational head said, let's do this. Let's try to do this. Someone's got to be this overseer, this project coordinator. And of course, he's got the biggest job. He's going to be coordinating it. He may be doing some of the work, hopefully not all this work, because there's so much involved. But he'll be the taskmaster. He'll be assigning projects and timelines and deadlines and milestones for people I'm about to talk about. And he's going to put everything together. And he'll be the one that'll be working with the grant writer. and the administrator who will be submitting this grant after the RFA comes out. But it's not too early to sit down with the whoever is in charge of the organization and get the authority to do this. First of all, you're going to have to decide, and you may discuss this with them. Do we want to go after it? And if we want to go after it, are you willing as an organization to commit some time and effort of various people in your organization to make this a decent grant? If you're not, it's a waste of time. So you've got to get that first. And you may even have to do a little background work. You may have to do some community outreach. You may have to talk to some employers. I'm not talking about the formal assessment, but you just have to get a feel for whether it's applicable. And it's not applicable everywhere. Everyone might say, well, we need to have a job training program. The mayor would like to do this. Well, let's go deeper than that. Can we do it? Is it applicable? Are there jobs that we can cultivate, that we can work with? Do we have target groups that we could work with? Is our geographical area sufficient or workable? And, of course, you know, it's if it could be done in Alaska, it could be done anywhere. So I think the answer to these are probably positive. It's more a commitment of resources. Now, when I say 6 months or longer, I'm not talking about everyone's going to have to work full time on this. We find that most of these are basically part-time jobs. So you may have six people in your team, but they're coming in and out of it. But for that reason, you've got to get firm commitments of time and effort as you go along. So I'm going to name a few of these, and we'll be talking about these in future PLCs. But, you know, early on, this community outreach, identifying if you have a target community, what is that target community? Is it feasible? What does it look like? How does it align with the with other grants? How does it align with opportunity zones? How does it align with brownfields? So this community outreach is basic research that you're doing in those early stages, and you're going to have to find someone to do it. Now, you as project coordinator, any of these you may want to do yourself, but again, some of these require different skills and a lot of work at the same time. So you may want to find someone in your organization who's really an outgoing person and wants to work with community organizations. They're familiar with the community. Maybe they've visited the communities. They're going to need to visit some churches, faith-based organizations, local police stations. They want to get a feel for what's in that community. Are there maybe training sites in that community that you could use? Someone who is community-oriented has to be on your team. This is critical, your community outreach. It's going to flow later. We'll put this all together later in future PLCs, but it'll influence your recruitment and your screening, transportation to your training sites, the motivation of the community, their attitude towards environmental remediation. They may be very negative to it. So you've got to find a kind of a, I want to say, a street person for that job, but get him on the project. And he has to come in fairly early. Again, not necessarily full time, but he has to commit some time, and you want to set some guidelines for him. You need someone else very similar to him, but with a different slope. He's going into the community. Who's going into the government for you? They're the ones that are going to ferret out the opportunity zones, and they'll work with the community person. They're the ones that are going to say, here are the brownfield projects in our community. I've been to the mayor's office. I visited the WIB. I know the WIB people. I know the job training people. I know what they're willing to commit to. I've worked with HHS. I can maneuver my way around City Hall. I know all about community development. You see the difference I'm talking about? They're familiar with the mayor's office. They tend to have that political twinge, and they like to work the politics. And this is, of course, extremely important. This is going to get you your non-EPA-funded money. This is going to get you money that will sustain you and maybe get you grants that will supplement this big time. And hopefully at the all-grantee meeting, we'll talk to people who are in the mayor's office. Paul, you know, those of you who have been around, he's in the mayor's office and has brought tremendous resources to this program, tremendous resources in working with employers. So you need that government guy on your team. You also need someone who's, I want to say, a schmoozer. He knows employers. He works with employers. He's comfortable. He knows the needs of employers. Maybe he's worked in the private sector. He knows what it's like, and he knows what employers are looking for, and he's very comfortable working around them. You're going to need someone like that. Now, they're going to come in a little later. You're going to use many of these people concurrently in the beginning, and you're going to work from general to specific. In other words, you're going to find out if there's a demand from the employers. You're going to be doing this labor market assessment. He'll probably be working on that early on to see if there is a demand and what the demand is, what certs are employers looking for. And he's a guy that will be going around to different employers and saying, are you interested in our graduates? Would you consider looking at them? What kind of certificates would help? If they had these certificates, would you look at them? Would you hire them? So, again, as I'm describing them, you're going to see this difference in personalities between these people. And you want to get them all on your team. Again, we can't afford to hire all these people full time. So what you need to do is get management to allow you to tap into some of their time and commitment of time and resources. And as you lay this out between now and the fall, when this RFA comes out, sometime in that time, you're going to be able to want to commit them to time and effort and be able to ask them if they could do certain tasks, which, again, we'll be talking about that as we go along. You know, I haven't even mentioned technical training. You're going to need someone who could actually do the work. This grant, people look at this as an environmental training grant, but it's one of eight critical issues to make this successful. And you're going to find some techies. Now, we've always suggested before the grant comes out, before the request comes out, get these guys on board. Then you can use them in writing a grant. If you wait, you're going to have to vet them. You're going to have to, if you're new, you're going to have to get three bids. And again, we'll talk about this later, but you're going to have to get the three bids. But if you get them on board now and vet them now, you can include them in your grant. But you're going to need a curriculum guy. He's going to be interacting with the employment guy. And a little bit to the community outreach person, what are our students capable of learning? What certs can we do? Will our employers hire ex-offenders if that's who we're going after, or disabled, or non-English speaking, or whatever? So as I say, all these people are coordinating early on, and you're going to have some early meetings to get your team all thinking the same, in the same mode, and because they're all going to have to coordinate with each other. And of course, he's going to be working with you on curriculum, which is pretty straightforward, but there's, you know, now we get in all nuances of how do we deliver and what do we deliver and face-to-face and everything we traditionally talk about in our meetings. When all said and done, we've got our grant writer. And, you know, the grant writer, I clump them in the grant writer, administration, administrator, grant submitter, grants contact. That may be two people, maybe three people, accountants in there. I'll call it administration. These are the people that are going to be working with the grants office. They'll be getting they're the ones that are going to have to submit. They'll be the primary contact. They'll be the accountant. Again, that's probably going to be two people, maybe three. Again, all these people are working part-time on here, but you want to get them committed to the project. And particularly that grant writer, he's going to need half to a month of manpower, man effort to really make this grant pop. And as soon as this RFA comes out and we know the final schedules, you'll want to get him going. I mean, but you may need permission from the principals of the organization. Can we get this time you know, are you, before we get going, are you going to allow me to commit half a man month or a man month of effort of the grant writer to work with us to write a grant that'll beat all the others out, or at least in the top fundable grants. So that person will be coordinating with everyone I just mentioned. So again, we're talking about assembling a team. I don't care if you're an old grantee or a new grantee. You may want to rethink this if you're a prior grantee, and maybe you didn't have the team that I just suggested. Maybe you're thinking, maybe I should have a government guy, or my community guy isn't really a street person. He's not. He's in the office. He's really not comfortable in that working that neighborhood, or he's not comfortable in our target community. You may want to think some of those things on your curriculum. You may think maybe we need to go shopping for our curriculum guy. And do it now, way in advance of when this RFA comes out. And again, the placement guy, is he really someone you like right away and trust? Is it someone that is working with employers and knows employers and can get them to commit to look at your graduates? So before we get going later on these PLCs, this is kind of groundwork. Just think for a minute about your team if you want to move forward with this. And I think it's a great opportunity. Many of our grantees, this is an incubator for them. Many of our grantees go on to, they keep our grant and they go on to much bigger things. They use it as a starter and then they get other grants. And I could name many that go, you give them a $200,000 grant and when you look at their budgets 5 years later, they're up in the millions and they're getting all kinds of support. And when you track backwards, where did they start? They'd never had a government grant before. And we got them started and gave them tremendous amount of exposure. It's almost like a loss leader. This isn't a grant that's going to get any organization rich, but it is a grant that will give them exposure to some very high-level people who have the ability to provide you with funding. So today's session was just an overview and want to just put some ideas in your head of where we want to go. And between now and the all grantee meeting, I'm sure we'll be talking about that in the all grantee meeting. And then on May 19th, we'll start again these phone conversations and we'll start getting into some of the nuts and bolts on ranking criteria and threshold criteria and getting you ready to write a bigger and better grant. And for those of you who are running fine and don't plan on submitting an app, let's see if we could up your game while we're at it. So anyone have any comments or questions? It was kind of a talking head thing, but anyone want to contribute anything about anything?
Hi, Mike. It's pretty late. This is Angela, but I did want to mention that at the New York region, whatever region we are, roundtable yesterday, I heard something about the Brownfields Conference could be moving out farther than September. So if you guys haven't heard that yet, if I get anything in writing, I'll send it along, but you may want to ask about that. I just heard this yesterday.
Thank you. We love poop. You know, we always in our, everything we say is opinion. We don't put out anything official. So that's, we've got some advantages doing that. But the disadvantages, we have to take everything in stride. But that is good news. That's interesting news. I wouldn't mind it being postponed and a little further out.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Farther away, farther down the road is probably better for everyone. But whatever.
See what happens.
And you'll let us know about the timeline when we get closer and to the RFA. And
yes.
And we'll have fun doing that again, probably at the holidays.
Well, I'm hoping that Channing will send us an email that it'll be coming out, you know, or it's out, or we'll look for it in the next week. And we never know, but I would like to see it out this summer. Now the ARC people, the Brownfields people, they're already talking about their grant. They're thinking fall for the, I don't know if they're going to do one in front of the other, but they're going to be doing rounds for the Brownfields Assessment Cleanup Revolving Loan Funds, multi-purpose grants. And they're already starting to talk about their grants. It would be nice to get it in the summer. I don't know how you all think is, you know, a lot of you are putting cohorts on now, and the last thing you need is something around Labor Day or whatever, but it would be nice. But no matter, we're already April, May, June, July, August, September. Even if it comes out, we're only 5-6 months away, so we need to really get started now. It's much better to work leisurely than to try to write something in a month that doesn't look very good, you know. So we'll start going over that early. And our other hope is whatever it is, it's lots, because we're going to have lots of grantees to re-up. So that's and for any of you, if I were talking to you individually, I'd probably say we want to get your grant so there's better than all the other ones, so that it's a curve. So we'll fund you until we run out of money, and some will be left behind, unfortunately. You know, so, it would be nice if everyone who submitted would get a grant. But, you know, way back when, we don't want to fund bad grants either. The worst thing, I've always said, sometimes the new grantees, now you've got a grant, now what do? You know, now we've actually got to do this stuff, you know, which is tough. It's tough. So any other comments? Thanks for that comment, though. Okay. Well, again, we'll be pushing out, we've pushed out registrations. If you have a few minutes, unfortunately, as usual, I ran over, but it's 10 to 3 Eastern time. If you could take 10 minutes and send that registration back, go to that link, send it back now, that would be great. Heather, you got anything that you could tell anyone that'll get it moving?
Well, I just want to say thank you for those that already have turned it in. We've got them already starting to pop in, and I really appreciate that. It's a really quick process. Those of you that attended last year, it's very reminiscent of last year, so it'll be a very familiar process. You will see an additional email that'll come in with your Zoom registration link this time right away, so please keep that email as well. Put it on your calendar. Keep that with it right away. You'll get a little link to the Zoom site right away this time, so make sure that you save that for that meeting. But it's a really quick, simple process. So we really look forward to seeing you all in May, and very easy. Once again, though, if you don't see that email in your inbox and you're worried that maybe you're not on our listserv, just send me an email, hkballou@eicc.edu, and we will get it your way. I apologize in advance. You're going to see a lot of registration emails coming your way. If you've done it once, you are good to go. Don't worry about registering again. I'm just going to be pushing it out to the listserv quite a bit over the next week or so. So you'll be seeing a bunch of register now for the all grantee meeting coming your way. So you'll be reminded quite a bit. So thank you all very much. We do appreciate it.
Okay. And any of you want to make sure that you're being heard, send Steve your contact information in any of these sessions. You want to make sure that you get your 2 cents in. You'll have a chance anyway, but this way we'll put you on the agenda. So, well, thanks everybody, and we'll hear from you on May 19th, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Thanks for tuning in. Talk to you all soon.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.